Hi, Stephanie Harmon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mark?
I'll tell you, I am doing so well that it should be illegal to be doing this well.
Awesome.
But so far, it isn't.
That's good to hear.
Although there's some things that in Missouri that they would like to make illegal. And, you know, in fact, there were so many things I wanted to start the show off with today. And, you know, I think you have got me here with this illegal thing that I just brought up. And so I'm going to ask you if you've ever heard the story of Ralph Waldo Emerson meeting with all of a sudden it's a blank. David Thoreau, Henry David Thoreau in jail. Did you ever hear that story?
No.
Okay, it's a great story. It's very short. Thoreau was in jail, and and Emerson walks in and says, "Henry, what are you doing in jail?" And Henry looks at Emerson, and he says, "Ralph, what are you doing out there?" Hey, you know, and my point on all of this is that today is the day that Missouri General Assembly is trying to put teachers in jail. So this is their big thing. They want teachers who teach things that they don't want. For example, LGBTQ. So, you know, if you're teaching something about LGBTQ, they want you in jail. It's an e-felony, and they want you in jail. But apparently,
why would you teach that? Why would you teach that in school? These are children.
Well,
these are children, and you know, I have a big issue with that. And it's, I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I really don't. But to teach that in school, and you have parents out here who are dressing their kids up, and these are little kids. We're talking 5-year-olds, you know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds. As if they're girls, they're dressing them up as boys. If they're boys, they're dressing them up as girls, almost like it's what they want. You know, these are children. They have no clue what they want to be or who they want to be at that given point in time. They don't.
How about if you're teaching a senior government class?
No.
Well, that's...
Those are teenagers. Okay. Those are not adults.
See, and that's my point.
And that's when they messed up the most. Their head is all over the place.
Yeah, that's my point. I definitely think that discussions about the legality of people choosing sexual orientation is absolutely a correct subject to be teaching at the high school level to seniors who are on their way to college next year and studying government. Now, what you're talking about is something totally different. You're talking about discussions about whether or not you're gay or lesbian or something else. Look,
they're teaching that.
No, they're not teaching that. And
when I say they're teaching it, I'm not saying that it's part of the curriculum, but they are. When I say they're teaching it, you have teachers, you have parents that are out here putting that in their children's head at a very young age.
Stephanie,
and that's, to me, that's teaching.
Well, Stephanie, let me say this. You know, Jim Berger was on the air with us last week.
Right.
And Jim Berger, if he were here, would tell you the same thing I'm going to tell you. I don't even talk to my friends about personal issues having to do with sexuality.
That's
whose business is that? So that I understand that part. That's not the issue. The issue is if you're in a government class,
okay,
and you're teaching, for example, the Obergefell case at the Supreme Court that had to do with gay marriage.
Okay, well, I'm with you.
I think that's 100% appropriate.
Yes. I mean, I'm with you. Yes, you're right.
Supreme Court case. We're talking about the law. We're not talking about sexuality. I mean,
okay,
you know, I'm not somebody that's at school to teach anybody about anything that has to do with medical issues or your body or sexual. None of it. It's not my business, and I don't care. And I'm not even interested in the conversation. But so, okay, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that these people are going too far. Let me give you another example, because I'm not teaching that anyway. But here's something that maybe you or I might be interested in teaching. How about Toni Morrison, who wrote The Blue Eye? Right?
Yeah.
So you got a black woman author who writes a book that is really about racial issues, but she's got some things in there that may bother somebody, I guess, but, you know, don't read the book if you don't want to. But you can't be saying that you want to take Toni Morrison away from black kids.
Correct.
I mean, you know, you don't want to take James Baldwin away from black kids because he was gay.
Exactly.
I mean, give me a break. You know, so there are a lot of things that people are trying out here. That, for example, they banned in Florida Hank Aaron and Roberto Clemente books, and it wasn't even because of anything that had to do with sexuality. I mean, I say that it was one reason and one reason only.
Which was?
They're black. They're black. That's all. They in Florida, they didn't even hide it by, you know, trying to, you know, bake it into a story about Toni Morrison or something and the blue eye. No, they just went straight after a couple of very important black baseball players. And honestly, I think that this is what would go on in the country if we allowed it. And that's the thing. You know, in Missouri, they do want to stop black history.
Yes.
And frankly, you know, diversity, inclusion, equity, they want to get rid of all of that. Well, I want to teach those things. And on top of it, I'd love to teach, which I don't to my high school kids, because it's really pretty complex. And that is critical race theory. But whatever it is about black people that I could teach that would get me thrown in jail, it's like the Emerson and Thoreau story. If I can teach something about black people that will get me put in jail, I belong there. And I was talking to my friends at school today. I'm talking about teachers, you know. And I said, look, you know, we all should be there. And we were all laughing. But, you know, some of the others weren't kidding at all. My school's pretty progressive. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I think that if we can go to jail teaching about black people, I think we should go to jail.
Yeah, you know, they have not. The school system sucks when it comes to that, because, you know, you have the history of talking about white people from day one. I even remember, and I don't know if they still do this, but I remember that, what was that, Tom Sawyer book? That was part of the curriculum to have to read that book.
Sure.
And it was like, okay, so we're reading this book, and there was nothing about Martin Luther King. There was nothing about, you know, slavery, how it started, anything like that. But it was a black gentleman in that story. And that was the most that we got out of it. Which is sad. Everything else was taught to us by our parents. Oh, it was passed down.
I understand. But I mean, here's an example. How about, I don't know if you know the website Without Sanctuary. Do you know that one?
No.
Okay. So it is a website dedicated to the memory, the commemoration of black lynching.
Hmm.
And it shows pictures of black people hanging from trees. It shows still pictures of them hanging from trees. It shows all the postcards that the white people used to create with pictures of black people hanging from trees on the front of it. And then on the back, it would say, "Aunt Martha, how are you? I hope you're enjoying your vacation." And on the front was, you know, black people hanging from trees. So, you know, this was commonly done. And this website really does a great job of not only putting those pictures online to show what white people were up to, but it also has some films that they've created that are really excellent for young black kids to watch. Now, I say young black kids because that's what I teach, but I would show it to the young white kids too. Of course, I'd probably be fired. But being fired isn't good enough. I want jail.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? And not to... I understand what you're saying, but our young people are angry enough. Just if I saw that right now today, and I'm glad I know nothing about that website until today. But if I saw that today, it would make me angry.
Yeah. Okay? By the way, and I understand why. And let me also mention that the website was created by the Martin Luther King Museum in Cincinnati. Just
okay.
You know, because there are a lot of parents who over the years have been very angry about kids watching those films and seeing those postcards. But see,
well, I could tell you that among the African American, and this is just from what I see as today, if you would show that to certain individual in certain areas, in our cities, a film with blacks hanging from trees, I think you would have a lot of rebuttal from that, and a lot of more hatred than we already have.
Yeah.
I think that the young folks, because they already have so much anger in them, that would just fuel some more anger where they would actually go out and act out, which we don't need.
Yeah.
As adults, we are better articulated to understand what's going on there than they are.
Well, I happen to have just a little different point of view on it. And part of it, though, comes from the fact that in our tradition, in our Jewish tradition, we take little kids and we show them the bodies piled up on top of each other in Germany, and we show them burning the parents and stealing the kids and killing them, and you know we just watched at my school we just watched Schindler's List, which phenomenally powerful movie by Steven Spielberg. Jews want to show the story and they want their kids and young kids to be exposed to this, not so that they'll go out and hurt somebody, but so that they understand how some people view us, that there are people who would like to see us piled on top of each other and burned up, incinerated with ashes falling out all over the place. That's what some people want, just like they want similar things with you.
Right.
I mean, that is...
I'm interested to know, when you go back to work, I want you to ask your students, how many of them have seen Roots? How many of them have seen the movie Roots? And I, and the reason why I brought that up, my children had never saw Roots. I had to take all of them and set them down, and I watched it with them. So in case they had questions, in case their mind went elsewhere, you know, with hatred and everything else, I explained everything to them. And to me, that was very powerful. When Roots came out, and I don't know, I think I discussed this with you before. When Roots first came out, I was at a predominantly white school. I was at Rosary.
Okay.
Rosary High School at Redmond. At that time, they had buses, because eventually they got out of busing and you had to drive or find a way to school. But they had busing. I was the only Black on that bus when Roots came out. Now, before Roots came out, everybody on that bus was my friend.
Right.
Per se. Roots came out, and I had a young lady every day I would get on the bus would call me Kizzy or Black Chicken.
Mm.
Every single day, call me Kizzy or Black Chicken. And back then, I wasn't a fighter. I was this child that just would come home and do the right thing, tell my mom and dad, hey, this girl is doing this, she's doing that. And I remember constantly telling my mom every day what this girl was doing, just on this consistent basis. My mom said, you know what? The next time she called you a Black Chicken, you beat her ass.
Okay.
Mark, that was the very first fight I had ever had. I got on that bus that morning. That girl called me a Black Chicken. I put my books down on the seat and I went back there, and I mean, I beat her ass. And, you know, but there's good with bad. So let me finish this story. At the end of the story, her parents ended up suing my parents.
Oh, man.
Homeowners insurance.
Oh, my.
Because I hit her so hard in the eye. Her contact lenses were glass and they broke in her eye, which caused some retinal damage or whatever. But my parents said that was the best lawsuit they had ever had in their life that they would ever lose. Well. So understand that even back then, there was a lot of hatred and anger still going on in the 80s. To try to deal with that now, and right now it seems like it's going backwards, not going forwards. They say that history repeats itself, and here we are again. Did you read about McClanahan today?
Tell me.
The one that's running for governor, on how he has openly admitted that he's a member of the KKK?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that one. No. I mean, and I usually hear those things, but no, I didn't hear that one. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might want to check that out.
Yeah, you know, Horton and I used to have on the air the head of the Missouri and the Illinois Ku Klux Klan. And then we, after a while, we couldn't have them on anymore because they ended up in jail. But the thing is, they were about the most pathetic people that you would ever imagine. I mean, they walked out of the studio, hopped in a car, and drove down the street with the muffler clanking across the pavement as they drove away. I mean, they were a mess. And you know, I'm not surprised they ended up in jail. They used to call and act crazy on the air, but you know, we interviewed them. And they were quite pathetic. And then, you know, around that time, I also did an interview with David Duke. And, you know, he was obviously more polished than some of these weird ones that were, you know, driving around with the mufflers, you know, clanking behind them. But again, a sicko, you know, for sure. And you know, I talked to him. I mean, I talked to anybody, and you know, the other thing is, even here, you know, I'm happy to talk to anybody who, you know, has any point of view. It really doesn't matter, but it is, it's a sorry situation. Not just that you've got a guy out here that wants to run for office in, and he's in the Klan, but more importantly, somebody like this Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, who ran an entire campaign almost like George Bush Sr. did when he ran against what was his name now? Well, anyway, I can't think of it for the moment. But the what he did, of course, is he did the Willie Horton ad. And that was very effective, because when you put the picture of black people in jail on television and say your opponent is going to put that black person in jail next door to you, or that black person to jail in jail is going to teach your children something, or the black people in jail are going to be, you know, in your neighborhood, you know, I mean, there it's very powerful for white people. They love that. They are attracted to that, and they'll vote for that. So, you know, you can't play nice with these people. I mean, you can, yeah, you don't want to hurt them, but you've got to be able to call them out, and you got to be able to talk about it. And, you know, with that in mind, the other thing that really got my attention today, big time, which won't surprise you at all, and that's my dear friend, Donald J. Trump.
I mean, that's your buddy.
Yeah, that man is one of the sickest people on the planet.
And did you see that today? They're going to keep him on the ballot.
Well, no, of course I saw that, but I also, number one, read the case. And, you know, this is what I try to say to people, and I hope that people who watch us will do this. Go out and read the case. Understand what's being said. And you know, Trump said that, you know, nine people came together and had the same opinion in terms of protecting him on the ballot. That wasn't exactly true. Because, in fact, there were nine people who said that his name should currently be on the ballot. And their argument was very small. They said that they thought that if you didn't do that and you allowed each state to decide who gets to be on the ballot, you'd have chaos in the election. Now, don't get me wrong. I disagree. I think he should be off the ballot. I mean, this man led an insurrection against the United States. He attempted to overthrow a fair and free election for his own personal benefit. He went against the Constitution of the United States. He was a president, and he went against that Constitution. He, of course, talks now and says that he would terminate the Constitution. Anybody that doesn't believe it, just go pull it up on Google and watch him, because he has said that he, in certain circumstances, would terminate the Constitution. Those were his words, not mine. So, you know, this is a very sick and dangerous man, who a judge says raped a woman. The judge heard the case, and he presided over the entire situation, knows exactly what the jury said, knows all the law, and he says that Donald Trump was found to have been a rapist. Now, the official word in a civil trial is libel, but it's guilty. Yes, he raped a woman. Now, there are 18 other women who say that he raped them. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he only raped one. Isn't one enough?
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, the
definitely you.
Yeah,
one is definitely enough. I mean, and then look at his surroundings on who he was hanging out with at the time. I don't put nothing past him.
Yeah. So anyway, you know. Okay. So aside from all of that, he lied because if you read the case, four of the justices, including one of the conservatives, Coney Barrett, okay, she and the three liberals all said that, first of all, that they may have overstated their case, but but they still did it, and they said that there could be other circumstances where it would be appropriate to ban somebody from the presidential ballot in a state. So, you know, they didn't completely go along or certainly with the reasoning that the five others proclaimed in their order. But, you know, it's just the Supreme Court's a funny place, and you got to really read these things in order to understand the nuance that's involved. And I can tell you that, having said all of that, I think that the three liberals were cowards. I mean, I think that's the end of it. They were afraid. They were cowards, and they gave in, and I don't think they should have done it. And I hope that we don't see anything even close to this on the immunity case. And I don't think we will, but, you know, who knows with people these days. But
yeah, because I was going to say, doesn't he go to a trial before we actually vote for our president?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a March 25th criminal case, which people say, oh, yeah, that's just the case having to do with hush money for a porn star, Stormy Daniels. But here's the thing. That's not what it's about. That's not the case. That's just what people say. This is a case of attempting to interfere with the election. And the way he did it is that he paid a porn star who he had a relationship with when his wife was in the hospital, but that's, you know, having a baby, that's their business, not mine. But, you know, I mean, people are willing to accept that. But anyway, what the case is about is not just hiding it from his wife, which is not illegal, but hiding it from the electorate prior to the election using funds from his business and falsifying the evidence. And that is illegal. And they're taking him to court for this. This is an election case. It is not a porn case. And I'll tell you, there are a whole bunch of felony convictions that are possible in this case. And if he loses, which, again, the case is March 25th, by April or May, this man could be convicted. And now, when I say that, I don't want to say on his way to jail, because he will appeal it, of course.
Of course.
The judge has the right to allow him to be out during that time, or the judge could put him away while waiting for the appeal, which happens to people all the time. They appeal. While they're appealing, they're in jail. So it could go either way. I understand he thinks that he has a special right to be out of jail because he's running for office. And frankly, isn't he running for office in order to avoid going to jail? I do think so.
Yes. And, you know, if that was anybody else, they would sit in jail.
Well, that's right.
Until the appeal. But unfortunately, you know, he'll be out.
Well, don't be so sure. But listen to what he said today, because he gave this speech, which, again, you know, he gives these rambling, insane speeches, and then he accuses Joe Biden of things, and he is lost. You know, he gets lost in words, and in he thinks he's running half the time against Obama. He says it all the time. He said it over the weekend. He was talking about, you know, the election against Obama. Nah, he's ill. But look, let me also say this. There isn't a one of us who hasn't messed up words from time to time. I mean, you know, I messed up in telling you the story about Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau. You know, it took a second before I remember I got lost in it. I mean, it does happen, and it doesn't mean anything. And, you know, people that, you know, get all bent out of shape over these things, usually there's something else going on. But at any rate, you know, so here's what Trump said today that was pretty amazing. First, he said that a president has to have immunity so that, for example, if you order the murder of somebody from ISIS, that when you get out of the presidency, you should be immune from any lawsuits that would put you in jail, because you're doing that as commander in chief on behalf of the United States. And of course, that is true. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to prosecute somebody for being the president and being the commander in chief. That's not the issue. That's for that. We wouldn't have to go to court for an immunity case. For that, we know that, you know, if you tell the SEALs to attack somebody because, you know, they're it's in response and retaliation to actions taken against the United States of America, which you, as the president, you've taken an oath to protect our country.
Yes.
Of course, that's not something you're going to be prosecuted for. Now, on the other hand, if while you're president, you rape somebody, I'm sorry.
That's illegal.
Yeah. You're not.
Yeah, that is what it is.
You're not going to get away with that. Now, also, if you call the Secretary of State of Georgia and you say, Raffensperger, can you get me 11,000 votes so I can win? And when the guy hesitates, Trump says, you can tell them that you recalculated. Now, we've got it on tape. Okay? I mean, we can all hear that instantly when we get off the show. We're not going to play it here. Everybody's heard it. Trump says that was beautiful. Well, you know what? Let him stand for trial in Georgia, and we'll find out how beautiful a jury thinks that is, because they won't think it's beautiful at all. They will hear the law, and they will understand very well what's been done here. And a grand jury has already heard the evidence, and that's why this is going to trial in the first place.
Right.
This wasn't something that Fonnie Willis just cooked up.
Exactly. This
was a grand jury that found him under probable cause to be in a position to be prosecuted.
Exactly.
Period. So, you know, if I'm right, and if the judge within the next 2 weeks says Fonnie Willis can go forward, I think you're going to see a trial that's going to knock this guy's block off. Now,
I hope so.
Now, the next
Ooh,
thing.
Ooh, I hope so.
Well, the next thing is, and again, this is far different than a president of the United States as commander-in-chief taking some action that somebody later wants to say that they could be prosecuted for, which would not be appropriate. But that's not what Donald Trump did. Donald Trump took documents home, and unlike Joe Biden, who also took documents home, unlike Joe Biden, when he was told to give the documents back, first Trump hit him, and then he lied to the government and the FBI and said, I don't have them. And, and then he told his people at Mar-a-Lago to hide the evidence.
Yep.
Now, is that the job of a president? I don't think so.
Is that somebody we would want in office? Period.
Well, number one, no. But number two, if you lie to the FBI, in the United States, you go to jail. You do. Do you remember Jeff Smith?
No, refresh my memory.
Okay, Jeff
Smith. I might.
Yeah,
Jeff, it sounds familiar.
Jeff Smith was a professor at WashU, and he ran for office and won state rep. And then he wanted to run for Congress, and he lied to the FBI about his documentation that he was giving out to potential voters. They put him in jail for a year. That's all.
I remember.
You go to jail for that. If you lie, you go to jail. If you lie to the FBI. You know, so, you know, Trump's got it all mixed up here. This isn't something that was cooked up by the White House to get their opponent in an election. This was something that he did. How about his buddy, Alan Weisselberg? That's his treasurer or money person, comptroller at the Trump Organization. He has so far admitted twice to doing exactly what the Trump Organization was found guilty of in New York. That is lying on documents to try to help enhance the profitability of his company, of Trump's company. Well, first of all, that's illegal. Secondly, Trump has paid him $2 million to shut up and go to jail and not tell on Trump. Now, this is all being hashed out by the prosecutors at the moment. And apparently Trump has paid $1 million out of the two, and there's $1 million left. And the story is that Weisselberg is willing to go to jail because Trump will withhold the payments to his wife and the rest of his family. And Weisselberg is, according to the story, willing to go to jail for the benefit of his family.
In no way.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's true. I don't know. But I know this. I know that Weisselberg has admitted to doing exactly what Trump and the Trump Organization was found guilty of in New York, which is why he's paying $500 million. I mean, all these things that he claims, you know, make him some kind of a victim of these horrible Democrats. No, that's not true. This is a man who has been guilty of every kind of misconduct within business going back over 40 years, and that includes preventing black people from living in the apartments that he was renting 40 years ago with his father. He was found guilty of that. You know, somehow all these juries, according to Trump, are always wrong.
Well, that's typically how it happens.
Yeah. Well, again, and
but hopefully it has all caught up with him. And at this point in time, we can just get rid of him. Just put him in prison where he needs to be. I want to know since when they think prison is so plush. You couldn't pay me enough to go to somebody's prison.
Oh, well,
ever.
But I'm sorry. I would go to prison if I could go to prison and be convicted for teaching black children about black history. I would love that. I'll take that any day. I'd like to go to that prison with a bunch of people here. I mean, look, you presume in the United States that it wouldn't end up like Russia, where you end up killed. So
right.
I don't want to. I didn't say I want to get killed. I would like to go behind bars though, and stand up to the Missouri legislature.
Right.
Yeah. Because the Missouri legislature trying to take away black studies in Missouri, that's a bad thing. Now they haven't made that one of the official felonies yet, but I want to see if they do, and they probably will, because you know they get emboldened every time they hear Donald Trump speak. These people are all together, and when they are, they've got to be called out. So, you know, that's the story there. Are you getting hungry?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm already 10 minutes past when I want to say something about Wendy's, which is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And I can tell you, I did make a promise, but I'm not prepared to talk about my other things that I might eat there. But I'm going to stick tonight with the baby back ribs,
okay,
which I love. I mean, that is good food. That is great food. And in addition to that, they got great pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little high on the calories for me, but, you know, plenty of people eating pizza, and this is really good pizza. And then, of course, the onion rings, which are also high on the calories on my schedule, but they're not so bad, and they are really excellent. I mean, great onion rings are worth it all the time to me.
Yes.
So, Wendy's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. You can't go wrong with Wendy's. Now, there are great opportunities to buy jewelry at 4506 Hampton, and of course that is Jules on Hampton. And yep. Al, you got to meet Al. Al is great, and you know I've spent a lot of time with Al before we even talked about anything to do with jewelry, and he's just he's a good guy. And if you go to 4506 Hampton. Assuming that you're interested in jewelry, yeah, you can do that. Now, you can go there to just talk to Al. I mean, Al's, you know, open to conversation, you know. But once you walk into that place, you're going to be, you know, really, it's going to magnetize you. You're going to be pulled in to that jewelry. So
right.
Be prepared. But at any rate, 4506 Hampton, Jewels on Hampton. They buy and sell coins and jewelry, and they create their own jewelry, and they fix watches, even my 44-year-old gold Seiko, which I love. So, yeah. Jewels on Hampton, you can't go wrong there. And finally, here I am with my
suited and booted.
My suit again. I love wearing a suit and tie when I go to work. And I just do. You know, I don't like bow ties. Although they sell bow ties at St. Louis Suit Company.
I think you would look kind of spiffy in a little bow tie.
I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's never been my thing. But I do love really nice ties. And these ties are phenomenal. They look great. They are silk ties for $5. And you could have bought the same ones from Donald for $50. And once you put it around your neck, they automatically choke you. He doesn't tell you about that. They got a little button that's in there, and it just sucks the life out of you. That's right. But you don't want to worry about that, because you go to the St. Louis Suit Company at the corner of Forsyth and Central. You don't have to worry about being choked. Just wear a nice tie. You look good. It's good for you. St. Louis Suit Company. We love them. 29 years there. And they have supported our programming for years.
Yes.
And I say our programming because, you know, Showdown was a program over 20 years ago on KDHX television, which Onion Horton and I put it on the air. And we're going to have so much to talk to you about in terms of getting access to those old Showdown DVDs through Washington University. And I promise you, you look at these things. First of all, it's sad that the conversation is still accurate and appropriate to our time.
Right.
You would have thought we would have solved some of those problems, but no, they are still right at the top of our discussion. Luckily for Onion, he didn't have to know about Donald J. But the other side is, look, we knew about Joe McCarthy. We knew about Father Coughlin during the 1940s. We knew about Charles Lindbergh, who was, you know, a Hitler lover. You know, and here we are, when I look around me and you know, I'm not, you know, jumping all over Eric for this, but, you know, he did say that he wasn't worried about Vladimir Putin going into Paris. Well, I'm not worried about it either, because I don't think that's what his goal is. I think his goal is to go into Poland first, just to mess with NATO. And I think he'd love to try it. Of course, yep. If Donald were president, he could do it. If Donald were president, he wouldn't even have to put up a fight. He could just walk into Poland and take it.
Exactly.
You know, and let me say that
I thought he was losing that fight, that war over there.
Well, he is losing it, and right now it's sort of a standoff because he doesn't have the weapons. That is, the Ukrainians don't have the weapons from the United States because it's being blocked by Donald Trump and his people. So, you know, they say that, you know, another week that might come out up on the floor of the House of Representatives. And there's no question the votes are there for this aid, $60 billion of aid, and they're desperate for it. So, you know, that's the issue. But listen, how about this? Last week, now you can talk about Paris or something else. You can make this into any kind of a conversation you want. But Putin said, don't get me wrong, I'm not afraid he's going to do it because I really don't believe he will. But Putin said that he is prepared right now to attack 14 major sites in the United States with nuclear weapons. Now, again, you can hear it on Google. It's all there. I understand you have to hear it translated because he speaks Russian. But let me say, he...
Yeah, one of them was right here in Missouri.
That is correct. That is correct. I believe it's the Whiteman Air Force Base, which I believe is in Kansas City or close. But here's the thing. He has said it, and it's pretty irresponsible to even have those words come out of your mouth, let alone be one of the top nuclear powers in the world and say that you're prepared to attack first. That's what he said. He's prepared to attack first. Now, with all this talk from Donald Trump about what he would do as president of the United States to protect our country, and he doesn't want to be found guilty of some kind of a crime, my question is, what kind of a crime would you charge him with if he turned over documents to the Russians, classified documents, which, by the way, he did. I mean, we watched him do it on tape in the Oval Office. He handed them to the Russians. I don't know what was in those.
Isn't it espionage?
Yeah, well, that's right. But, you know, you can't get him while he's in the White House. And Mueller, Bob Mueller, documented everything and said you can get him after he's out, but nobody wants to go after those cases because Mueller has been so discredited by people like Bill Barr saying things that were absolutely untrue, but nevertheless, they were said over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And when you lie over and over, people believe it. So, okay, they're not using the Mueller report, 448 pages, which, frankly, I've read, and everybody should read. I mean, you should read the Mueller report. It's a valuable 448-page read. This guy, Trump, has been in bed with the Russians for years. He has broken the law.
That I believe. Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. What we don't...
Two wives are from Russia?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if they're Russia or Eastern Europe somehow. I don't know. But here's the thing. You can't give those documents to the Russians, which he did. And you can't be so glib about this whole thing as if nothing matters. It's all a joke. We watched him in Helsinki say that he believed Vladimir Putin before he believed the intelligence people in the United States government. And then you get, of course, the right wingers running around saying, well, those are the deep state. That is the biggest nonsense that I have ever heard. And then they say, well, Kaysen, you didn't like when the FBI was chasing after Martin Luther King. And I didn't. Of course I didn't. But just because I didn't like the FBI when J. Edgar Hoover chased after Martin Luther King, just because I didn't like that doesn't mean that I dislike every intelligence agent who finds out information that could be valuable in protecting our country.
Exactly.
That is ridiculous. That is a conversation that I just can't even understand how we could be having any of this. And you know, Trump today also, when he was talking about, you know, all these things about who he might, you know, have to do something bad to, you know, he talked about rogue prosecutors. No, these people aren't rogue prosecutors who are going after him. These are people who were given the job by grand juries.
Yes.
And then he in the case of Jack Smith, and then she in the case of Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg in New York. You know, I mean, come on. These people heard the evidence and said there was probable cause to bring 91 felonies against these guys. Now, yeah, they're innocent until proven guilty, but you know what? We're not on the jury, and I have read about this man. I know what he's up to, and I'll tell you, read a little bit, people, because all these people, you know, the case that came out today, it was so easy to pull it down out of the New York Times and read it.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't hurt to know something. You know, there were briefs that were brought to the court last couple of weeks. One of them was 92 pages. Okay, if you're a citizen in this country, just pick it up and read it, because you do have an obligation to know something. If you don't want to know anything and you just want to mouth off, you can do that too, because the country protects it. the country also protects Donald Trump, and that's why he's had this opportunity over the years to stay out of trouble, because he has learned the ins and outs. Because you know something, and I taught at Fontbonne University for 12 years, and I taught you know, all kinds of things having to do with constitutional law. And here's the deal. In the United States, we would rather an innocent person be protected and not go to jail. And if that means that a guilty person also gets to stay out of jail, we're okay with that. Because when we protect people, we say, if you're guilty and you're out of jail, but it's because the protections that we afford you are so terrific that it also allows the innocent person to not be convicted. We're willing to live with that. That's okay. And Donald Trump has benefited from that. That is our system. We will allow a guilty person to walk free in order to protect the innocent. That's what we do. And that's a good thing about our system. I love it, and I want us to continue to do it. But on the other hand, if you know somebody's guilty, you just got to keep going after them until you do get them. That's just what we do. So anyway, you know, Donald, you can watch him tonight if you're at home and you want to pull up YouTube and watch Trump talk like a fool.
I'm still not.
You know, you can do that. I would. I saw it live, but you know, if you didn't see it live, I suggest you watch it. And you know, if you don't think Vladimir Putin is threatening to use nuclear weapons against the United States, you better check that out, because
he's definitely ready to go.
Well, I don't know if he'll do it. I think he wouldn't. And look, think about this.
I don't put nothing past that man. Well, I don't put anything past him. I really don't.
Well, here's the thing. Does he want to die? Because if he uses those nuclear weapons, he's a dead man. Now, the other side is maybe he doesn't mind dying. But then I have to tell you that there are other people in the Russian government who might not want to die. They might.
Seems reckless. He's really reckless.
He's reckless. He is. You know, and that's why we're spending all this money to protect Ukraine, because protecting Ukraine protects us. That's the point. We're protecting us. This is what we should have done against Hitler. But now we're doing it against Vladimir Putin.
Right.
And hopefully against Donald Trump, who, by the way, he's meeting with Viktor Orban from Hungary. Why? Huh. Oh, because he loves dictators. Dictators who put newspaper people in jail. That's what Orban does.
Right.
Oh, well. Okay, so, you know, I got all that off my chest here tonight, Steph. So, you know, I get to go home and relax because I said it.
You said it.
I said it and I meant it. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 4:00, thanks to Wendy's on Chesterfield Airport Road and the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And Jules on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. Because of them, we'll be here tomorrow. And
yes, we will.
And I'll be happy to be here with you, Steph. And there are other people who will be joining us all through this week. So
awesome. I can't wait.
You be great. Have a nice night. And good night.
Good night.